Now the Lord God said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred, and I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. And Abraham went. God's word for God's people. So Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things in your law. Amen. Please be seated. We are starting a new series in the book of Genesis over the next few weeks. So we looked last week at the beginning of the world, and now we're seeing the beginning of God's people, God's call to Abraham, God forming his people and calling them to himself. So I've only got 3 points today. God calls, God blesses, and God sends. Do you remember the film The King's Speech featuring Colin Firth? It's the story of, Prince George, who will then become King George VI. He wasn't slated to become the king. In fact, he was not a good public speaker. He had a speech impediment. But due to unforeseen circumstances, his older brother abdicated and he became the king. And then it was important for the nation to hear him speak during World War II. So they came to them and said, you need to deliver a radio address, much like your father did for us in World War I. And but he had a stutter and a stammer. But with a speech therapist, you see in this whole film that he works through it, and then he finally gives this speech. And he doesn't deliver it perfectly, but he delivers it powerfully. And his words steady a fearful nation. You see, words don't just inform. Words form. And this word formed the people of Great Britain to be able to face the challenges they were going to face in World War II. God calls us. God forms us. And then God sends us. He calls us, he blesses us, and he sends us. Let's look at that. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord God said to Abraham. It starts there in chapter 12. Before chapter 12, there is no scripture. You know, we're so blessed to have this book. But before chapter 12, there is no people of God recording down God's words and telling the stories. So there is this massive amount of faith in Abraham as he hears God call. But think about it. Genesis 1, what happens? God speaks and he brings that which is not into existence. That's precisely what we read in our psalm reading. It's precisely what we read in the book of Romans. It's what we read in our gospel reading. God speaks, and Jesus brings life from death. His words are powerful. God calls us. It's always his initiation. It's his initiative. It's his grace, and then it's our faith response to that grace. He calls us, and then we respond. The second thing that we see is that God doesn't just call you to call you. You see, you may come to our services, and every 3 years you read through the lectionary. You may not be familiar with the story, but Abram is a man living between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers, which is sometimes known as the Fertile Crescent. He's living in Ur of the Chaldees. And God calls him and says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And Abraham responds in faith, leaves everything behind, leaves what's now modern-day Iraq, and he travels all the way to Canaan. That's what this story tells us. But the second thing that we see is God doesn't just call him, but he blesses him. I remember when I was ordained as a presbyter or as a priest, the bishop ordains you, and then he blesses you in order to bless others. So I remember as he laid his hands on me and prayed for me, he's like, Lord, bless Peter that he might bless others. And so that's why presbyters in our movement, in our tradition, are the ones that do the communal blessing at the very end. Every Christian can bless. You can all do prayer ministry, believe it or not. You can all do individual blessings, but the bishop's like, look, in our tradition, you do these communal blessings for everyone else. And so I thought, after this ordination, I'm going to have glow-in-the-dark hands. They weren't, but God blesses you in order to bless. Too many of us Christians, and I put myself in the same category, we become consumeristic. We become pew potatoes. God, bless me, bless me. The whole purpose of blessing you is that you might become a blessing. God blesses Abram in order that he might become a blessing to the whole world. I mean, do you know how he blesses the whole world? It's through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, then through Judah, and then you go all these generations down, and you get to this one person called Jesus. You see, Abram becomes a blessing to the world through that simple act of faith and obedience. The Messiah comes into the world. God calls, and then God blesses. I remember in 2006, I had just finished seminary, and my aunt decided to give me a gift. She said, you know what, let's go to Israel. Let's see all the stuff you've been studying about. And so I drove down to the Negev Desert that we read about today. And there's this beautiful spot in the Negev. Have any of y'all ever been to the Negev Desert or to the Dead Sea? I mean, it's stunning. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And you have to realize the way that the geography of Israel is set up is you have Mount Hermon to the north and the snows and the rain. They fall. The water comes down to the Sea of Galilee. And then it goes down through the Jordan River. And it's this fertile and place teeming with life and vegetation. And then the Jordan River continues south and it empties into this place called the Dead Sea. There's a reason it's called the Dead Sea. But I remember going there, and obviously I was a 28-year-old, and you know, I 28-year-old and a man, I don't read instructions. So I throw my bathing suit and I jump in the water, and it's amazing. The reason why it's so cool is that it's the saltiest sea in the world. You can just lay in the water and float. Your body is more buoyant. But I didn't read instructions, so I went in there and I was floating, and then I decided I'm going to go into the water and come out. But it's very salty, so I'll close my eyes, and then I'll open them, and I'll be fine. And then I opened my eyes, and the water came down into my eyes, and it was burning. Well, what I didn't realize is there's this sign in both Hebrew and English and in Arabic saying, don't put your head under the water. You see, the Dead Sea receives all this water, the salt, this nutrients, the silt that from that very fertile Jordan River, and it's blessed with all of that. But if you take all those nutrients and you just hoard them for yourselves, and then you don't have an outlet to give them out to anyone else, you go from being blessed to being toxic. You see, and that's how sin works. It's self-centered. We turn away from God. We become self-centered. Oh, God, bless me, bless me. And then you don't go and bless others. That's precisely why there in verse 2 it says, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. That's the whole reason why God blesses us. He blesses us to do that, to become a blessing to others with our time, our talents, our treasure. You know, you can always make more money. You can always get more material things, but the one thing you can't get back is time, giving people your time. That's one of the greatest gifts you can give, and that's why I love the fact that just to run our two services in the morning, it takes 33 volunteers, and you guys give of that. It's amazing. God's blessed you that you might be a blessing. Here's the other fun thing you might not realize, but 3 years ago, our bishop for this diocese was installed, and then he made his theme for these last 3 years, gathered, nurtured, and sent. And that's not just his theme. That's actually the whole Christian life. God calls us to himself. He blesses us, and then he sends us. Think about even how this service is structured. You walked in the door. You gathered. We then do it very visually. We process in. Then we are nurtured. We are blessed. We are fed both physically and spiritually in both scripture and sacrament. And then we're sent out. We end with this dismissal from the back. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Gathered, blessed, sent. God blesses us in order that we might become a blessing. That's the whole purpose of why God has called Abraham. It isn't just to make Abraham have a lot of wealthy stuff and have lots of cattle and lots of goats and lots of kids. He blesses him in order to bless others. But lastly, here's what he does. He sends Abraham. Look there in verse 3. And Abraham went. He went. When God blesses you and he calls you, our response to his calling is to say yes. And think about that in Isaiah chapter 6, right? God calls Isaiah and he says, I want you to go. Whom shall I send? Who will go and preach to these people? And do you know what that response is when Isaiah gets a vision of God and he says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. Hosanna in the highest." He says, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me." And it's easy to read these wonderful stories in the Bible, whether it's Abraham or Isaiah or David or even the story of Jesus. Like, that's reserved for special people that are called, special people that are blessed, and then special people that are sent. It's for everybody. It's not extraordinary people. In fact, the story of the Bible is the story of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Not extraordinary people doing ordinary things. Extraordinary people do extraordinary things. That's what they do. It's ordinary for them. But God calls ordinary people and sends them to do extraordinary things. He sends them. And sometimes sending means you're going into the unknown, just like Abram did. Last week, I was at the beach service, and I was chatting with someone who had done the Alpha course. I'm not sure if you're familiar with what the Alpha course is, but we do it about twice to three times a year here at this church. It's a great way to explore life's biggest questions. We do it over a meal. We have a short talk, and then we have group discussion. It's an amazing place to grow. And so this one gentleman really enjoyed it, and he decided, you know what? I really enjoyed that. I've sensed God's call. He's blessed me. I want to then go and invite others. So he was with his golf buddies last week, and one of his golf buddies was complaining about how his back hurt. So he said, well, can I pray for you here and now? Instead of waiting, like, oh, I'll pray for you sometime in the future. He said, I'll pray for you right here and now. And his golf buddy said, why are you praying for me? God's got more important things to do, like hunger in Africa. You see, when God calls you and he blesses you and then he sends you, when he sends you, it might be like Abram. You're leaving everything you're familiar with. You might even leave and have those awkward conversations or even have people say awkward things about you. Guess what? The Christian faith is awkward. It is strange. It's not something of this world. But he invited me and said, you know what? In late August, early September, we're going to run the Alpha course. Why don't you come on and join? As golf buddy, like, swears like a sailor because I think he was a sailor. But the whole point is like, nah, church ain't for me. But he might come and check it out. When God calls you and blesses you and he sends you to invite people into this wonderful relationship. I mean, even think, I was telling you about Isaiah, right? God calls Isaiah. He says, here I am, Lord, send me. Do you know what he says at the end of chapter 6? He says, Isaiah, I want you to go, be my messenger, be my witness, and I'm going to send you to people, and you're going to preach for many years. And no one's going to listen to you. But I want you to do it anyway. I want you to be faithful. So God calls us. But he calls ordinary people, not just special people, priests or deacons or lay leaders in the church. He calls every single one of us. He calls us, he blesses us, and he sends us. But how do we get the power to do this? Here's how you get the power. Think about the place where God most significantly calls Jesus, blesses Jesus, and sends him. When is that? It's a Jesus baptism. He calls him. He goes into the water, and the heavens are open. The Father speaks over him these words of blessing that, man, all of our hearts are desperate to hear. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then he's sent into his public ministry. You want to receive God's blessing? You got to go. It's in the going that you get the blessing. It's in, as you're blessed, you can bless others. And where does Jesus go? It's not like Abram not knowing where he was going. He went. He knew exactly where he was going. He went from the Jordan River, not just into the desert, but into the greatest desert ever. The desert of the cross. Utter and total abandonment. Not just by God, but by all of his friends. And in doing so, he brings life to all of us. That's the reason why he can bring life to Jairus' daughter, the leader of that synagogue. That's why he can speak life into us, that we might call others into this amazing relationship with God. As we unpack the book of Genesis through the next few weeks, have in mind that God calls you and he blesses you in order that you might become a blessing, and then he sends you to bring that grace wherever you go. So today, I don't know who the Lord has put in your place or in your path this next week. Maybe there's someone you need to have an amazing conversation with. maybe even a frustrating conversation with. Maybe the Lord is putting you in a place where you can be a blessing to someone. He's blessed us with so much. May you be someone that can call people into that beautiful relationship. May you be someone that can bless people that they might become a blessing. And above all, will you be on mission? Will you go in peace to love and serve the Lord? So Lord, thank you that just as you called light out of darkness and you call us from fear into faith, Lord, would the call of Abram not just be for people long time ago or special people right now, but for each and every one of us, may we respond to that call and may we take your invite and bring that invite to others. We ask this in Christ's strong name. Amen.